Been studying a line of study called One Word. And basically, we're following a devotional book that studies one Bible word each week. And I wanted to continue with that study this morning. And the word that we've been studying this past week is baptism. Baptism. When I thought about this topic, I thought of many things, but one is about how in churches of Christ, some say we spend an overabundance of time preaching and teaching on baptism. Reminds me of one preacher that seemed that that's all he preached about was baptism. And members began to complain, and the elders came to him in concern and said, "Listen, baptism is a biblical subject, but you need to speak on other subjects too." They said, well, what do you suggest? Well, just why not start at the beginning, Genesis, and preach through the Bible? And so he determined he would do that. So he began the next Sunday, opened up to Genesis chapter 1, and he began reading, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And that brings me to my present subject of baptism. So at the risk of being portrayed as someone who puts a lot of emphasis on baptism, that's exactly what I want to speak about. And as I was studying, my mind kept going to a song that I believe Russell introduced to me several years ago. So long ago that he couldn't recall the lyrics off the top of his head. But it's a song sung by Kenny Chesney and Randy Travis. The words are written by Mickey Cates, country song. And let me hasten to say that I believe many of Kenny Chesney's songs need to be baptized, need to be cleansed, okay? But this song I love because I think it speaks well of what the Bible says about baptism. So I'm going to use it as a backdrop for our lesson this morning. And here's the first verse. "The summer breeze made ripples on the pond, rattled through the reeds and the willow trees beyond. Daddy in his good hat, Mama in her Sunday dress, watched with pride as I stood there in the water up to my chest. And the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. I sank my toes in that East Tennessee mud." And here's the refrain. "And it was down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore, but I felt like a newborn baby cradled up in the arms of the Lord." I love that song. And I want to use these lyrics as a backdrop for the lesson, but especially and only as they point to the Scripture. But I want us to see some things about baptism. And as you can see, this song was written by someone reflecting on their own baptism and what it meant to them. And I think that's a good thing for you and me to do, those of us who've been baptized into Christ, to reflect on that day that we obeyed the gospel, to see just what it meant to us and what it should continue to mean to us. Prentice Metters, a gospel preacher, and he wrote these words as he reflected on his own baptism. He said, "Even though I didn't thoroughly understand all the things that happened at my baptism on that Thursday night, I knew that it was a pivotal point in my life, a defining moment. It became my true birthday, a time to celebrate, a moment to remember, the beginning of a journey, a signal that something was happening in my life, new and different. My prayers became a little more personal. The Bible was not just a rule book, but a roadmap. Church was not just something you go to, but a group to which I belonged." And I thought that was a healthy remembrance of what his baptism meant. If you've been baptized into Christ, think about that time again. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, I believe that after you study what the Bible teaches about it, that you'll want to be baptized into Christ. So join me, please, as we study some things about what the Bible teaches about baptism. What does it mean? Why should I be baptized into Christ? What should it mean to me for the rest of my life? Let's explore these questions. First of all, baptism means a new beginning. A new beginning. I notice in those lyrics of that song, Baptism, the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. And I sank my toes into that East Tennessee mud. The preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. That's where studies must begin when we're talking about baptism, because it's directly related to the cleansing blood of Jesus. There's a song that we often sing in our assembly, "What can wash away my sin?" And the answer that we sing back is, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's a true biblical statement. It's only the blood of Jesus that can wash away our sins. Revelation 1:5, a description of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If our sins are remitted, if they're forgiven, it's only because the blood of Jesus washes them away. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross as payment for your sins and mine. And that's the only payment that is enough to wash away our sins. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's necessary that the preacher speak about the cleansing blood. But Christ washes away the sins of the penitent believer when he or she is baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he's basically told that audience, primarily of Jews, who are gathered in Jerusalem for this Jewish feast, thousands upon thousands of people, but in that audience of people are many of the very ones who had cried out for the crucifixion of Jesus. When Pilate asked, "What shall I do with this man? I find no reason to have him crucified," they cried out, this angry mob of Jews, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate, if you remember, washed his hands, but he sent him away to be crucified. In that very audience, on that day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, Peter says to those very Jews, "This one whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." That's verse 36. And many of them realized what they had done. They were cut to the heart, verse 37 tells us. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They recognized, we got the blood of Jesus on our hands. The Messiah, the Lord. Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission," or for the forgiveness of sins, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But recognize what he's saying. It's some of the very ones who cried out, "Let him be crucified." And they're wanting to know, is there any hope for us? Can that sin be forgiven? And Peter says, "Yes, but you must repent, turn from your sin, turn to follow Jesus, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." It's when a penitent believer is baptized, is immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, that those sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Saul was a penitent believer. He's been confronted by Christ on the road to Damascus. He thought he was doing the will of God by persecuting Christians. Christ stopped him in his tracks and revealed who he was. And Saul is penitent. He's fasting. He's praying. And God sends Ananias to him and to tell him what God wanted of him. And part of those instructions were this: "And why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, Saul, at this point, though he is penitent, though he is praying, though he is fasting, he still has those sins in his life. But he is told how he can have those sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. And that's why he's told, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Baptism means a new beginning. It's when the blood of Jesus washes away our sins as a penitent believer. Prentice Metter again wrote, "While I did not understand that my sins were forgiven on that Thursday night during my baptism, I did not understand how that happened. It was really much later that I began to see that the blood of Jesus Christ had been operative on that Thursday night in my baptism." He says, in some mysterious and unseen sense, the precious blood of Jesus Christ had cleansed my soul of all my sins and all my guilt while being baptized on that Thursday evening. And though we may not be able to fully understand it, but we accept it because that's what the Scriptures teach. Some would argue, but baptism is a work, and we're not saved by works. To that, we could give this response. Baptism is a work, but it's not my work. It's not your work. It's God's work. The reason we say that, Colossians chapter 2, notice this, notice the wording carefully. Paul writes to Christians and he says, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith," notice this, "in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." God is doing the work. Baptism is very, every mention of my part, your part in baptism is passive. Baptism is something we submit to. It's something done to us. But God is doing the work. He's doing the forgiving. He's the one applying the blood of Jesus to our lives so that our sins can be washed away. Folks, baptism is a defining moment because it gives us a new beginning. Secondly, it gives us new life. In the chorus of that song, Baptism, "And it was down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth." I thought that to be a beautiful rewording of that passage that Chris read for us earlier, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Paul writes to Christians, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I love to point out here how our baptism into Christ is a sort of reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what accomplished our salvation, folks. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, but that he rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the basic facts of the gospel. And when we're baptized into Christ, we die to sin. We're buried with him in baptism, just as Paul says, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. What does baptism mean? It means a new life. It's the beginning of a new life. I love this statement. Baptism is the beginning of the journey, not the destination. And I want to underscore that this morning, that baptism is a defining moment, but it is the beginning. It's a glorious beginning, but it's only the beginning of the Christian life. Then life has to be lived. Then we follow in the steps of Jesus. Then we make it our aim to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1, verse 7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light," this is written to Christians, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And in the original language here, the tense of the verbs is, it continues to cleanse us from our sin. As we've been baptized into Christ, having our sins washed away by his blood, then as we continue to walk in the light of his word, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It initially washes our sins away in baptism. And then as we continue to follow Jesus faithfully, seeking to walk in the light of His Word, the blood continues to cleanse us from our sins. Baptism means a new life. Thirdly, it means a new birth. In the song that sung, Baptism by Kenny Chesney, Randy Travis, I didn't see no angels, and I'm aware that's a double negative. I didn't see any angels, but then it doesn't fit the music very well. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore. But as I read, as I hear those lyrics, I'm reminded of this, that it's a new birth. A new birth. I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. John 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he's talking about the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus is talking about baptism to Nicodemus. You've got to be born again. And you're born of the water and of the Spirit. It's in the new birth that God's Spirit regenerates my spirit, building new life to me. It's at that point, as we saw in Acts 2:38, that when we're baptized into Christ, our sins are remitted, they're forgiven, but we also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a new birth. We're born again. Number four, and we're born into a new family. I didn't see no angels, but a few saints along the shore. And when one is, and the writer of that song, Mickey Cates, in writing those lyrics, I think said it beautifully. As he looked at those saints along the shore, he recognizes, and we need to recognize, that when we rise from the waters of baptism, those saints along the shore are now our family. You see, in Acts chapter 2, in the verses following, verse 38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Added to the number of the disciples. Added to the church. They were born again, and they were born into the family of God, the church of our Lord. Verse 47, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." When did that happen? When they, by faith, turned from their sin and repentance and were baptized into Christ. And at that same moment that their sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus, God added them to the church, to His family. You see, I can't add you to the church. Our elders can't add you to the church. The Lord adds us to the church when we obey the gospel. At baptism, God places us in His family. That means not only can we call God with all the authority of His word, call Him our Father, we can also call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of God's family. John Wilson said it like this: "It's good that most baptisms take place at public meetings of the congregation, or at least in the presence of many friends. The presence of these other people should help remind a new Christian that becoming one with Christ involves becoming one with all those who are themselves already one with Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ," Paul says, "and each one of you is a part of it. An isolated Christian can no more continue to thrive and grow than an isolated eye, ear, heart, or liver." In other words, it's God's design that when we obey the gospel, we're born again and we're added to God's family. We're added to the family of God. So baptism means a new family, entrance into a new family. And finally, baptism means we have a new Lord, a new Lord. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore, but I felt like a newborn baby cradled up in the arms of the Lord. Let's focus on that word for a moment. The Lord. What does it mean? Lord. Prentice Metta wrote, "In my baptism, I surrendered to a new authority. I pledged a new loyalty. I learned a new freedom. A freedom that comes by placing my life under His control." Folks, that's the meaning of Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Master. And when we're baptized into Christ, we're surrendering to that new authority, that new loyalty, that new freedom that's found in submission to His Lordship. In order for Jesus to be our Savior, He must also be our Lord. Jesus asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" In other words, you can't call me Lord unless you're going to do what I say. So my baptism ended the reign of my old sinful self and began my new life under the reign of Jesus. It's a defining moment. Not just regarding my past, but also my future. That I now belong to the Lord. He is my Lord. He is my Master. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 6 teaches us? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And he's writing to Christians here. Whom you have from God and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's a song that we sing that I think states this beautifully. It's, "I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more." It defines the way we live our lives as Christians. That Jesus is our Savior, yes, but He's also our Lord. I belong to Him. My life is to continue to be surrendered to His will and not my own. Here's the second verse of Baptism by Mickey Cates. "Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound. There was glory in the air, there was dinner on the ground. And my sins, which were many, were washed away and gone. Along with a buffalo nickel, I forgot to leave it home." But that seemed like such a small price to pay for that blessed peace of mind that came to me that day. And it was down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore. But I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. It's a defining moment, folks. Prentice Metta wrote, "Through baptism, my life intersected with His. It was when I finally was with Him, crucified with Him, buried with Him in His death, with Him in His resurrection." Royce Money added, "It is precisely in the act of obedient baptism that I meet Christ in my life. My life intersects with His, and I'm changed forever. It's a most intimate form of identification. This being with Christ." We're baptized, folks, into Christ. We're baptized into His death. In His death, where He shed that cleansing blood. If you've not been baptized into Christ, won't you? It's how we come in contact initially with that cleansing blood. When we've turned from our sin, we've committed our lives to following Jesus, and we're ready now, based upon our faith, to confess that faith that Jesus is the Son of God. He paid the price for my sins by dying on the cross, and now I'm acknowledging that, and now I want that blood to be applied to my life. And Jesus says it happens when I am buried with Him in baptism. Then I can be raised to walk in newness of life. I can have those sins washed away. I can be born again, born into His family, and begin that new journey with Him. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, there's not in East Tennessee mud in the baptistry, and the water's actually a little warm. It's ready, if you're ready. And it may be that you've been baptized into Christ, but haven't been following Him as Lord and need to make some changes, and perhaps you desire the prayers of the church on your behalf this morning. If that be the case, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.